Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Christ.
While the disciples were telling how they had seen Jesus risen from the dead, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer, to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. Light of the world, shine upon us that we may reflect the power of the resurrection in our life as a community of your disciples. Amen. The disciples were startled and terrified. What was going on here? The man they had seen upon the cross suddenly appears, and they're really confused. Is this a ghost? As Joyce was mentioning, it was easier to believe in an unbodied Christ. It was easier to believe in spirits and in ghosts rather than Jesus somehow truly was again in his body, that he had risen from the dead. It was very confusing for them. I love when Jesus tells them, when they're still confused, he says to them, "Do you have something to eat?" I can relate to that. So what are we celebrating in Easter? What does it mean? And especially not only what happened to Jesus, but it is about us. The celebration of resurrection is a mirror to us who we are and who are we called to be. We proclaim in our Apostles' Creed, the Baptismal Creed, in our Nicene Creed, we say on the third day he rose again. We believe in the resurrection of the body. We say on the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. And we look for the resurrection of the dead. There are two extremes. And throughout the church history, we were always like a pendulum oscillating between the two. On one side, it was those who believed it's a ghost. It is a spirit. The body really doesn't count. It is merely a spirit. The body is just gone. And there's nothing more. That is why Luke was made such an emphasis to proclaim it is a real body. And that is why sometimes even people feel it's really crude. I mean, this resurrected body of Christ that eats and sits down and talks, tells Thomas, remember last week? Thomas, come, put your hand in my side. Look at my hands and my feet. Put your hands in the wounds. It was very physical. John, he has in chapter 21st, the disciples are out in the Galilean Sea, and he sees them and he prepares food for them, makes a barbecue. Those gospels, what they're trying to emphasize is, if you think it's a ghost or it is a spirit, it is not. There is body. Now, the other extreme is it a resurrected corpse, a resuscitated corpse? It seems not, because at the same time, we have the Gospels telling us, like affirming the physicality of the resurrection, and in other times, we see this body that comes in through the doors that are locked. So what is that? It's not the same body. It's not a normal body. At least we can say that. So we see the disciples twice in the Gospel of John. They're enclosed in a place, in a room. They're locked in, afraid. And suddenly, they see Jesus in the middle. Definitely, it's not the body that we're normally thinking of body. It is not a physical body as we are. So it is really confusing. When Mary Magdalene, she sees Jesus, remember? She doesn't recognize him. So something is different. It's not the same body. When John in his gospel tells that Jesus appears to the seven disciples that were at the Sea of Galilee, the seven do not recognize him. They just see a guy over there and they don't see who he is. So again, it is something different. So we have those two extremes. On one side, Luke, John is telling us, it is a body. It is a real body. You can touch it. On the other side is, don't think it's the same body. It is not a body as you think it is body. So it really leaves us in this paradox. What is going on? It is like a non-dualistic thinking. Once you're here, it says, it's not the body you think. But then it's, oh, so it's just a spirit. It says, no, it's not a spirit either. So the resurrection really challenges us in our realization of what we celebrate on Easter. For me, the most important thing as we celebrate Easter is, what does it say to me, Berto? And what I think the gospel today, the Luke story of the resurrection, it is inviting us to really appreciate our bodies. When we proclaim the resurrection, the bodily resurrection, what we are affirming is that God wants all of us to be saved, to be healed, to be whole. It is not only our spirits that God is care for, that God is interested in, our whole being. In the year 150 died a man called Justin, the martyr. And Justin wrote a beautiful explanation of resurrection. And he said these words. He says, we as human beings are both body and spirit. We're both. We're not just spirit. We're just not bodies. We're bodies that are spirit, both. And he says, if neither of these, body and soul, is by itself a human being, but that which is made up of the two together is called a human being, and God has called human beings to life and resurrection, he has called not a part, but the whole, which is the soul and the body. Who receives Richard Rohr's weekly meditations or daily meditations? You know Richard Rohr? He's a Franciscan. And he has a beautiful meditation for the last 2 weeks. He has been emphasizing on this bodily resurrection. And he says the following. I choose to believe in some kind of bodily resurrection. Why? Because it localizes the Christ mystery in this material an earthly world, and in our own bodies, the only world we know, the world that God created and loves. It appears that for God, matter truly matters. I like that. For God, matter truly matters. And when we celebrate the resurrection, that is what we're saying, that God cares about matter, about our bodies, about our world. Richard Rohr continues saying, the major point is that Jesus has not left the world, this human sphere. He is revealing the good, the fullness, and the purpose of humanity itself, which is that we are able to share in the divine nature. Quoting 2 Peter 1:4. Even in this wounded and wounding world, yes, resurrection is saying something about Jesus, but it is also saying a lot about us, which is even harder to believe. We cannot return to a healthy view of our own bodies until we accept that God has forever made human flesh the privileged place of the divine encounter. I love that. Human, our bodies, is the privileged place of the encounter with the divine. As Christians, we proclaim that God became flesh. That is quite an astounding assertion. That this bodily earth, from the atoms of hydrogen, which is the last one? Any chemists here? Which is the last one? Oh, they're those strange names they have. All the elements, from the smallest piece of blade of grass to the suns and the stars and the galaxies, all of creation has been touched by the incarnation. God has become flesh. It is not only our human flesh. Every part of creation has been touched by the Christ. Marcus Borg, who's, as you know him, he's always a little bit critic of all these things. He says, and if it's hard to you to understand what is the bodily resurrection, don't focus so much on what happened, but rather in the meaning, the experience the disciples had of the resurrected Jesus. He says, Jesus, first of all, is no longer a figure of the past. The resurrected Jesus means that he is accessible to you and to me now, here on Orcas Island, thousands of miles beyond Palestine, here in the year 2018. Jesus is no longer a figure of the past, but he is available, live and present to you, that you can encounter the resurrected Christ. Also, the risen one is no longer the one as before, the one before his resurrection. He is now the Lord, the one with God, the only begotten Son, which points to the hope we have, as we heard in the second reading. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. That is the hope. The resurrected Christ is a mirror to show us the hope that we will be transformed in something we have no clue of what that will be. The Gospel of Philip, one of the apocryphal Gospels, says, beautifully. You have seen the Spirit and have become Spirit. You have seen Christ and have become Christ. You have seen the Father and will become the Father. Here, in the world, you see everything, but you do not see yourself. But there, in that realm, you see yourself and you will become what you see. Which is what I say sometimes in church before communion. There's a beautiful sermon. And when we wonder the resurrected body of Christ, look at what I say every time I give you communion. The body of Christ. So that is the body too. So it's different from the body that we have the imagination of. And Augustine, when he was preaching about communion, taking the body of Christ through the bread and the wine, Augustine said, "Be what you see. Receive what you are." So resurrection, the belief in the bodily resurrection, has social, political, economic consequences. How many times the resurrected Lord sits down and breaks bread with his disciples? Resurrection means community, means sharing our bread, means breaking bread with others. Just as we read in Luke, Jesus made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of the bread. The emphasis on a bodily resurrection also points out that salvation is more about this life than the afterlife. When Christianity, we have lost the bodiliness, we become this very spiritualized religion. Politicians love it because we're thinking about the afterlife. Don't worry about this world. Just hang in here. And the real thing will be afterwards. If we truly believe in bodily resurrection, it is about now. The transformation happens now. And there are consequences for that. When we really recognize our bodies as the place where God's grace becomes manifest, this body of ours, then the body of women who are sexually harassed and abused, there's a challenge there. The bodies of black youngsters who are shot unarmed, the bodies of women who are denied to say on their own bodies and their reproductive rights. The bodies of transgender people who are denied their equal rights. The bodies of men, women, and children gassed and bombed in Syria, etc., etc. If we believe in the bodily resurrection, all of that has something to say. It cannot be left alone. We are not spirits. We are not ghosts. The resurrection touches our bodily nature, our human reality. And as I mentioned before, it is not only our human bodies as human beings, but whole of creation is touched by the resurrection. From the smallest blade of grass, the minerals of the earth, to the galaxies that form our universe, everything has been touched by the resurrection. And then it has consequences also. The resurrection challenges us in our awareness of our climate and the changes that are happening, on pollution, our dependence on fossil fuels, on the degradation of the environment, and it challenges us in our responsibility for our future in this planet. So resurrection, when we say, "I believe in the resurrection of the body," it is totally against it just to believe in spirits. And it is saying, there is a difference here and now. Let us pray. Creator of the universe, you made this world in beauty, and you restore all things in glory through the victory of Jesus Christ. We pray that wherever your image is still disfigured by poverty, sickness, addiction, selfishness, war, and greed, the new creation in Jesus Christ may appear in justice, love, and peace. To the glory of your name. Amen.